The mystery that draws me to the whales is this wall that exists between us. The communication wall. I want to be able to talk to the whales. I want to be able to understand them. I have a feeling that they understand us way better than we understand them.
George Cirque has spent a lifetime observing whales because he's convinced that they have something to tell us. This is the Nature Stories podcast. I'm Samantha Brown. This podcast is brought to you by Atlantic Public Media in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week we feature stories about the intersection of people and place. Up now, Whale Talk by George Cirque and produced by Karma Jolly for the CBC's Out Front.
I have spent a lifetime watching whales because they are a mystery.
Don't touch the blowhole, though, or the eyeball. Here comes Mom. Mom's behind us.
See the silhouette right under the water there.
One time when we were in Magdalena Bay, a big female that was known as La Blanca, the white one, she had big white patches on her, came over and brought quite a large young, actually. The young was probably about 12 feet long or so.
Ah, whale snot in the morning. keep checking your camera lens.
Downwind of big blow.
When a whale is right next to you, first of all, they slobber. They will blow right next to you. And, I mean, it's coming out at almost 100 miles an hour.
Baby rolling.
Oh,
jump in here next to me. Don't
here.
Be shy.
And it surprised everyone on the boat. Some people leapt back from the side of the boat because, I mean, to have such a huge animal, I mean, the mom is 30 feet long, right? Suddenly appear, you know, within 2 or 3 feet or a meter from you is a real shock. And the baby was just lying right on the surface, and its eye, this gigantic eye, imagine a goose egg, beautiful brown color, and you know, its eyeball was staring right down my eye. They come to us. The mama brings her calf to us. And why does she bring it? So we can rub her and her calf. She wants that contact. The whales approach us and want to be with us. A friend of mine and I started the first whale-watching company in the west coast of Canada.
Not that one. I recorded that one.
I was supposed to be the guide, you know, and know everything about whales. And I was really just making things up, I think, because this whale rolled on the water in front of us, and this huge pink object came out of the water. It was about 6 to 8 feet long, and it rolled into the water with the whale, and I went, that's a whale feeding its young? I had no idea. And a nurse was on the Zodiac at the time, and she said, if that's a whale feeding its young, I'm a monkey's uncle. And I realized I had just seen a 6 to 8 foot penis come out of the water.
then when we're way up at the head of the Gulf of California and we're listening to the sperm whales, they're a completely different sound. They're like the snapping of fingers. And the sperm whales are the deepest divers of all the whales. Some people say they'll go up to a mile deep, but no problem 3,000 feet down hunting for squid. They're the great squid hunters of the world. So within the whales, you have different individuals. They're all individuals. I think we tend to lump them as, oh, gray whales, and that's it. You know, there's, what, 40 gray whales out there, and they're just the gray whales. But the thing is, there's Sarah, there's Bob, there's Michelle, there's Charlotte, you know? There's Barack Obama out there.
There's your picture. There's your picture. Look at the mouth is distended. Underneath, going under.
Oh, it's going. Okay. Holy doodle.
Bow cap.
Take blue whales. The blue whale is the largest animal to have ever lived on this earth. The largest recorded whale that was hunted, of course, was 112 feet long. You know, I mean, we are talking about an animal that has a heart the size of a Volkswagen. They have the longest wavelength of communication of any of the sea animals. And it's even postulated that blue whales in particular could talk across the Pacific. They could talk from one side to the other. But now we have propellers and engines and machinery of all kinds. We have filled the oceans with noise.
There she is. She's up front. Baby's right here. Baby's right here.
Oh, look underneath the bow. Shoot. Shoot.
There's mommy. Wow. And baby. Baby's coming up.
Baby's catching up to mom again.
Baby really sussed us out. Oh.
I've seen a blue whale blow. Oh my goodness, have I ever. At one time, a female blue whale was lounging, let's call it that. They weren't doing anything else. They were just hanging about, suspended in the ocean, right next to our ship. And when it blows 30 feet up into the air. I mean, you wouldn't want Marilyn Monroe standing near, you know? I mean, we're talking a regular geyser. Others who are very horny and chasing each other like the humpback whales off Cabo San Lucas, and the big males are snorting away, you know, and following the female within inches of her, staying with her, and they're beating off with their heads all the other male whales that want to mate with her, and those are snorters.
Whales. They're still running. And the orca's headed in that direction, not stopping for the dolphins. But he's got some dolphins split off, though. Boy, those were blue whales jumping out.
Were they?
Those are both blue.
No way.
Those are blue whales that were breaching down here. That's very, very unusual. They're still headed to the right, and the orca's following them.
Another time, I saw a blue whale off of Baja being chased by killer whales. It was
once in a lifetime experience. I know some things I will never see again, and this is one of them. There was a pod of orcas, about 8 killer whales, and 3 miles away in the distance, with my binoculars, I could see the blue whale, mom and calf, lunging.
There's another one.
About half the whale was coming out. We're talking about a 75-foot animal, right? I mean, imagine a tennis court, right?
Right up against the cliffs are the two blue whales.
They're lunging.
You see, they're still lunging along, moving very quickly.
The blue whale does not have an advantage over the killer whales because they think of killer whales as wolves. And they'll just work in a pack and they'll circle the blue whale and attack it. And they'll take chunks out of it and bites. And because, of course, a blue whale is so enormous, there's no way a killer whale could ever eat a whole blue whale. They usually eat the tongue because it's the easiest part. The killer whales are very fascinating. They're incredibly intelligent. I'll give you a wonderful example of that. We know about shark attacks. We have seen the movies. But what's fascinating is that no killer whale has ever attacked a human being and eaten them. It's not happened. Why? Well, the reason is because they know that we too are sentient and they don't want to kill us. We, on the other hand, humans, we've taken complete advantage of the whales. We consider them a resource. They are to be used for the betterment of humankind, whether it's making bombs, the glycerides from their flesh, or corsets, or perfume, or makeup, or oil in spacecraft. We've used the whales for our own purposes, whereas the whales, they share the world with us without the need to take anything from us. And then, what are they saying? What are they saying to one another? It's not just squeaking. You know, we tend to go, oh, isn't that lovely? Oh, that's a beautiful, you know, nice to meditate to. Hey, what are they saying? That will be the great revolution, is when we can communicate with whales. I think our pants will fall down. I think we'll be so shocked. What will happen when we finally communicate with the whales? Oh, I think we're talking about a different world, aren't we?
That piece comes from George Cirk and Karma Jolly from the CBC show Out Front. You can find more pieces like this one at the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org. The Nature Conservancy provides support for this podcast online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. If you have thoughts or feedback, write to us at podcast@tnc.org. From Woods Hole, Massachusetts, I'm Samantha Brown. Join us next week for a brand new Nature Stories podcast.